Welcome, everybody, to the Don't Go In There podcast, a true crime podcast with a paranormal twist. I am Bill Reed, and joined as always by your hostess with the mostest, Ashley Ernie. And this week we are covering Radium Girls.
Yes, I am so excited to cover this. It's so interesting. It's a weird one. So Bill, I don't know if you ever heard about the Radium Girls.
No, I have not. So I'm pretty interested.
Pretty interesting. So guys, check out our social media. Twitter is at don't go in there 3. Instagram is don't_go_in_there. We have a Facebook page and group, Don't Go In There. So like the page, join the group. Our website is don'tgointhere19.website.com. Go over and check it out. We're uploading our episodes there. We're going to have like little stories. Things are going to be uploaded. So go check that out. And then email us your true crime stories, paranormal stories, cases you want us to cover, or thoughts on previous cases, whatever you want at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com.
Yep. And don't forget to check us out on anchor.fm and subscribe to us on your podcast listening platform. Check out our Patreon. We know times are very tough right now, so we completely understand if you can't or don't want to. No big deal. We just ask if you could just take a couple seconds just to give us a rating, hopefully a 5-star. And if it is a 5-star, tell us why. If it's not, also tell us why so we can kind of get it right and get you better content.
Absolutely. So guys, before we jump into it, I just want to give some credit to some sources I picked for this. So obviously Wikipedia, atomicheritage.org, CNN, which I know is kind of weird, but they had a great article about this, allthatsinteresting.com. And then just a fun fact, I didn't watch it, but there is a movie about this. It came out April 27th, 2018, and it starred Joey King, Abby Quinn, and Kara Seymour. So if anyone wants to watch that movie. I know. I was surprised it came out recently, too, when I saw that. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, since, Ash, if you have nothing else.
Nope, that is it.
What do you say? Let's go in there.
All right, let's go. Okay, so this is not your typical murderer, serial killer, haunting case. It's a little bit different, but it's really interesting. So the United States Radium Corporation, so the USRC, was a clock factory in Orange, New Jersey. During World War I, they hired hundreds of working class girls and women to be dial painters. So that means that they would paint the number on the dials on the clocks, like on the watches. Many of these girls had brothers, husbands, relatives who they joined the war, and they wanted to help do their part. Grace Fryer was one of the girls who started at the factory when she was 18 years old. Her two older brothers joined the war, and she wanted to help in the efforts. So many of these men were going off to war, and a lot of, you know, jobs opened up where women had to step in, and being a dial painter, you know, it was one of them. And being a dial painter, this was a very elite job for poor working girls. It paid 3 times the average factory job, and those lucky enough to land a position ranked in the top 5% of working females nationally. This finally was able to, you know, let these females be able to have financial freedom because they were making so much money.
Really good, but I feel like this is like the happy-go-lucky part before the horror starts in the horror film.
Yeah. It's always like, it's too good to be true.
Yes, and there's probably a reason they were paid this much in the first place.
Exactly. Many of the girls working in the factory were teenagers because of their small hands. They were perfect for the artistic work. They spread the messages of their new jobs and throughout their friends and family. So often sets of siblings would work alongside each other. So sisters, cousins, things like that. Hundreds of working class women flocked to the factories to paint watches and military dials with this new element called radium. Now, we know today that radium is, you know, not a good element to be associating with. It's very, you know, radioactive, contagious. It has a lot of health issues. But this wasn't known back in the day. Radium was discovered by Madame Marie Curie. And that was maybe a little less than 20 years before this clock factory.
And that is very recent, too, because you got to think it was just discovered 20 years before. So they probably didn't know. They probably knew quite a bit since it was 20 years, but they probably didn't know the effects of being around it because it has only been 20 years.
Yeah, so I'm sure there wasn't a ton of studies done. She was doing, Marie Curie was doing her own studies, but I mean, there wasn't a ton of, you know, health benefits, like things like that. Like, it just wasn't looked at how it's looked at now. The radium glowed, which is why the, you know, military watches and the dials, that's why they wanted to use it so they could see their watches at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed perfect. The glow was actually a very alluring part of the job. So that's a lot, like, a big reason why a lot of these girls wanted to get into it, because this radium, it glowed. So they would glow. So dial painters soon became known as ghost girls, because by the time they finished their shift, they themselves would glow in the dark.
Oh,
so you're working with this radium paint, and, you know, pieces of paint are getting on you.
Yeah.
So you're leaving the factory at night and you're glowing.
Oh my God.
So they would come into work with their best dresses on, so they would shine when they go to the dance halls at night. So they go to work looking so cute, get all this radium on them, and then they go out dancing and be glowing. Like, it was like the thing to do.
It's hard to think, like, what are you doing, and not think about they didn't know.
Yeah, it's hard to be in that mindset, because all they're thinking of is like, oh, look how pretty I look, and, you know, we're doing a good job supporting the war, and not, what is this? Is this unhealthy or anything?
Mm-hmm.
They would even, and this is insane, they would even paint the radium on their teeth so their smile would glow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that seems like it would be so creepy, not pretty.
Yeah, but even if it wasn't radium, I still don't. You know what it reminds me of? That episode of Friends when Ross gets his teeth cleaned.
Oh my God, yeah.
And he's in that apartment with the black light and he smiles and she gets like freaked out. She's...
It's just so bright. Like, that's how, yeah, that's exactly what I'm picturing. The dial workers had to follow this painstaking technique in order to paint the dials. Some were only 3.5 centimeters wide, so very tiny. These girls were instructed to slip their paint brushes between their lips to make a fine point. It's a practice called lip pointing or lip dip and paint routine. So every time the girls raised the brushes to their mouth, they swallowed just a little bit of the glowing green paint. Yeah, so it's now getting into their system, not just on their skin, which is getting absorbed, but they're ingesting it.
Wow.
Yeah, so the workers...
No bueno.
Yeah, no, not at all. The workers did ask if it was, you know, safe, because naturally you don't want to be putting anything in your mouth that's not safe. But the manager, Mr. Savoy, said it wasn't dangerous, that the workers didn't need to be afraid of it. In fact, the company ignored all danger signs and told the girls that the substance would be, that would, it would put rosies in their cheek, meaning like it would give them like a nice glowy look. So, fuck you, because that's a very sexist thing to say. Like, oh, it's going to make you more rosy and more attractive. But just a side note, if your manager's wouldn't do it, which they wouldn't, it's probably not safe to do.
Yeah, and this, well, and you gotta remember, this is before like all of the federal laws we have now of workplace safe environments and stuff like that. Like,
yep,
this is actually handling this radiation, you need to be in a radiation suit, and they're just painting,
yeah,
and they're going out dresses, like
they're putting it on,
you know,
their
teeth. This was, yeah, this was seen in all, like, from construction to factories. Like, there was no law against anything. Like, you were just doing what you were told all the time, and if you didn't, you were fired.
Yeah, and I mean, with this case and then the Triangle Shirt Factory case, a lot of these factories unfortunately had to go through a very devastating event. The Triangle Shirt Factory, they had that fire. This, a bunch of, you know, we'll get into it, but, you know, radiation gets to the girls. And then all these federal laws and OSHA and all that comes to place. But there's nothing at the time that says, you know, this is bad for you.
Yeah. And let's not forget, this is why a lot of the factory work has gone overseas, because it's very expensive to manufacture here because of all of the laws. And Ash, I don't know if you knew this, but this is very interesting. With all this corona stuff going on, a lot of people have been looking into what's going over in China now, even with all the factory working. Did you know the factory or the manufacturer that makes all the iPhones over there had to put up nets on their windows to keep people from jumping out and committing suicide? Like, they've had that many suicides that they actually had to put nets out to catch the people jumping out of the windows.
Oh my God, no. Why
Yeah.
are they committing suicide?
Because the workplace is that bad.
Jesus.
They have to keep a certain quota, I'm sure. I haven't done research yet. I'm wanting to, because that is very interesting, and maybe we need to start, as a global society, need to start looking into these factories and seeing what is going on. People think they have it bad in some of the jobs they have here. At least you're not jumping out of windows trying to commit suicide.
And at least your work isn't like putting nets outside your window because they know it's going to happen. Like, that's the worst part.
Sorry. It's just talking about this, it just clicked. I'm like, oh my God, this is actually going on now, just in different countries.
No, I didn't know that. That's insane. That's insane that it's still happening and it's 2000 or 2020. So, back into it. So, ever since radium was discovered, it has been known to cause harm. So, people knew this was a harmful element. Maria Curie herself suffered radiation burns from handling it. People had died from radiation poisoning before the first dial painter ever picked up a paintbrush. This is what gets me mad. Men who've handled radiation or radium wore lead aprons in their laboratories and handled the radium with ivory-tipped tongs. Yet dial painters were not afforded such protection or even warned that it might be necessary. It could be because the company thought that it was such a small amount, the radium the girls were handling wasn't harmful to them, but it's actually believed in small doses to have major health issues. So it doesn't matter if it's this teeny tiny bit or a big bit, it's gonna have major health issues. And the crazy thing about this at the time, because people didn't know much about it. Like, obviously, Marie Curie was doing studies and she was getting radiation burns, and, guys were in labs not handling it. However, society, they were putting radium in water as, water as tonic. They could buy it and put it in their cosmetics. It was in butter, it was in milk, it was in toothpaste.
What?
Yeah. Radium was supposed to be, it was thought to be this, new anti-aging, keep you young kind of element, when it was seriously the exact opposite.
Well, they probably thought, just like they used to actually put like cocaine in actual coke and
Yeah.
use cocaine and heroin as a health benefit, because in very 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 small doses it actually helps. But if you use it in large quantities, we get addiction and the opiate crisis that we have now. So they probably thought the same thing.
Probably, but it's like toothpaste. You're using that, you should be using that 3 times a day. So that's, even if it was a tiny bit amount, you're still getting a good dose of
Yeah,
radium.
you're actually getting a large dose because you're doing it every day and multiple times a day.
Yeah. So
That's true.
it's just crazy that it was like this element that was supposed to be like keep you young forever. But then there's other people in the world who are like, I'm not touching that unless I have my ivory tongs and my lead apron. Because I'm going to get radiation burn and die. Like, some people knew, but the general public did not. So, in 1922, one of Grace's colleagues, Millie Maga, she had to quit her job because she got sick. She had no idea what was wrong with her, but it started off as a toothache. Her dentist pulled it, but then the next tooth next to it started hurting. So, in place of the missing teeth, this is gonna get gross. In place of her missing teeth, ulcers started to form and it started to ooze blood and pus. This consistently made her breath smell foul. She also started to suffer from aches and pains in her limbs, which eventually left her unable to walk. And doctors were baffled by this illness and they just gave her aspirin because they didn't know what was causing it and they didn't know what to do, so they just gave her aspirin for the pain. So by May 1922, Molly had lost almost all of her teeth from this mysterious infection. It has spread to her entire lower jaw and the roof of her mouth. Even some of her ears were said to be, like, one large absence. So, basically, like, everything's becoming an absence or an ulcer.
Oh. Yeah.
When the dentist prodded her delicate jawbone, just, like, check it out, see why everything was hurting still in her mouth, to his horror and shock, he broke it against his fingers. And then he just removed it. Not by an operation, but by merely putting his fingers in her mouth and lifting her lower jaw out. Her entire lower jaw was removed this way.
What the fuck?
It just crumbled. Is that not the most insane thing ever?
This is the craziest story.
Mm-hmm.
I have to watch the movie now.
It gets so much more insane. So on September 12th, 1922, less than a year after this strange infection started to plague Molly, it spread to the tissue of her throat. This disease slowly ate away through her jugular vein, and at 5 p.m. On September 12th, her mouth started flooding with blood, and she began hemorrhaging so fast that nurses couldn't staunch it, and she died at the age of 24. So basically, her body just crumbled, and her jugular just crumbled, and she drowned in her own blood. And doctors, nurses, they have no idea what to do and how to treat it. So the doctors were very perplexed on her death. And on her death certificate, it says erroneously, it's more of a cover-up, but erroneously said she died of syphilis. Something her former company would later use against her. I think it was a company, and we'll get into it in a bit here, but I think it was a cover-up from her company to put syphilis. But the doctors, I mean, they didn't know what to say. Molly was literally falling apart, and she wasn't the only one. Grace started to have trouble with her jaw and started suffering pains in her feet, and so were a lot of the other Radium girls. So these girls literally watched Molly fall apart, and in the same time, they're starting to get aches and pains, and they're starting to get, you know, the same kind of symptoms that she was having.
Oh, my God.
After Molly's death, soon as if by clockwork, one by one, Molly's former colleagues soon followed her to the grave. They started dropping like flies. The USRC denied any responsibility for the death for almost 2 years. After suffering a downturn in business because of what they saw as gossip that wouldn't go away, in 1924, they finally commissioned an expert to look into the rumor link between the dowel painter's profession and the woman's death. So this company tried to sweep this under the rug for basically like 2 years before they couldn't hire any more workers, and people weren't really, you know, their business was going down because no one was buying it, because they're like, well, these girls are dying. There has to be some connection. So they finally had to look into it.
And they were probably hoping that the independent study would come out. We don't know what you're talking about. And I'm sure there was also an attempt to pay out. Hey, if you say what we want, we will give you a hefty large sum of money. But I think, luckily, it did not happen.
Well, almost. So an independent study was done. And when the expert confirmed the leak between the radium and the girl's illness, the president of the firm was outraged. Instead of accepting the findings, he paid for a new study that published the opposite conclusion. He also lied to the Department of Labor, which had begun an investigation about the verdict of the original report. Publicly, he denounced that the women as trying to palm their illnesses off to a firm and decry their attempts to get some financial, you know, help for their mounting medical bills. So even though the original study said, yeah, there is clearly a link here, the firm paid for another study to get the answers that they wanted so they could not pay the girls' medical bills.
Who would have thunk that?
Yeah.
That was
a slimy, you know, piece of shit firm.
Mm-hmm.
So with the report hushed up, what the women's biggest challenge was to prove a link between their mysterious illness and the radium that they have been digesting, you know, 100 times per day. And they thought to themselves, they, you know, discuss the fact that their work must be to blame. Like, they just kind of put it together. Like, they're all working in the same place. It has to be the work. They were fighting against the widespread belief that radium was safe. Because, again, you're using it in cosmetics, toothpaste, water, milk, butter. Everyone thought it was safe. In fact, it was only... This is a kind of fucked up point. It was only when the first male employee of the radium firm died that experts finally took up the charge.
Unbelievable. So
in 1925, a brilliant doctor named Harrison Martland devised a test that proved once and for all that radium had poisoned the women. So it really did take a man to die to prove that it was also harmful to women. Imagine that.
That's the way that people thought. It's just fucking mind-blowing.
Well, it's kind of the point of, you know, women have the same complaints as men, but we are so not believed that, especially back in the 1920s, like, we were not believed in anything we said because whether they didn't believe we were educated or had the experience or whatever. Like, I mean, we do this with serial killer cases all the time. You know, a girl goes in to make a report and she's not believed. And it takes, you know, a guy to get in the same situation for it to be like, oh shit, this could actually happen.
This never makes any sense, ever.
So what is actually happening inside the bodies? So the ingestion of radium had subsequently settled into the women's body and is now emanating constantly, giving off destruction radiation that is now honeycombing their bones. Kind of like, you know, like a bee honeycomb, that kind of structure.
Yeah, it's putting holes in the bones, making them structurally weak.
It was literally boring holes inside of them while they were alive. And it attacked the women all over their bodies. So just because it got ingested didn't mean it went away. Like,
no, your body's not going to be able to digest the radiation, so it's just going
to
be
sitting
there. Yeah, but it's
not like, you know, you eat something, you digest it, you go to the bathroom, it's gone. Like, this is getting absorbed into your bloodstream, your muscles, your tissue. So Grace, from the beginning, Grace Fryer, her spine was crushed, and she had to wear a steel back brace. Another girl's jaw was eaten away to a stump. Another girl's leg was shortened and spontaneously fractured. These girls would just be, like, walking, and their leg would fracture, or their, you know, jaw would crumble or whatever. If the girls weren't killed by the same jaw problem that had taken Molly Maggie, they eventually suffered from sarcomas, which I don't think I'm saying that right, but it's a huge cancerous bone tumor that would grow anywhere on their body. So one dowel painter, Irene Laporter, died from a massive pelvic tumor that is said to be as large as 2 footballs. So if, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So if the radiation didn't kill them like Maggie did, basically she crumbled away until her jugular gave out. They were getting these tumors that were huge and cancerous. So I got cancer on top of that. The damaged bones would also begin to glow from the radiation embedded deep within them. So some women, this is insane, some women would only realize that she had radium poisoning only when she caught sight of herself in the mirror in the middle of the night and saw a ghost or a glowing reflection. Their reflections would shine, which would seal their fate. The radium poisoning was fatal, and there was no way to get it out of their body. So just imagine that, like, you wake up in the middle of the night to get, like, a glass of water, you walk by it past the mirror, and you see your reflection, but you're glowing.
It's not the funny thing, but you see these in, like, the old cartoons and stuff like that, like, radiation glows, and you always think that it's just, like, a dramatic, like, it's not true, but that's the way that they have to portray it. It actually happened. Like, people glow when they're exposed to high things of radiation.
Yeah.
With no protection.
And think of how strong that has to be to show through, you know, it's in your bones and stuff, but now you have to show through, like, your skin layers. And it's shining so brightly that it's catching their attention at night. Like, it's insane. As soon as they see that, they know, like, they only have a certain period of time because they're going to die because they have radiation poisoning. The radium girls started to band together to fight against the injustice of their company. It wasn't just the fight for themselves, but it was also for the hundred of other girls that are hired as dowel painters across the country. So yeah, we're focusing on Orange, New Jersey, but that wasn't the only dowel painting factory. There was hundreds of them throughout the country. Grace led the fight, determined to find a lawyer, even after countless attorneys turned her down. Either they disbelieved the woman's claims, running scared from, you know, a powerful radium corporation, or being unprepared to fight a legal battle that demanded the overturn of existing legislation. Like, this was a huge undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, radium poisoning was not, you know, a compensational disease. You can't be comped for having it.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, you can't sue for having it. You know, they wouldn't pay you.
No.
Because you obtained the disease through work. Yeah.
And it wasn't even a heard of thing until these girls started getting sick. So this is coming out of nowhere for everybody. Again, they're using this in everything else. So why isn't everything else getting sick? Which they might be, but maybe they just don't know to link it to their toothpaste or milk or whatever. Also, the women were stuck by the statute of limitations, which ruled that the victims of the occupant poisoning had to bring their legal case within 2 years. You have to say you're poisoned within 2 years or you're out of your statute of limitations. Well, that's an issue because radium poisoning was, most girls did not start to get sick until at least 5 years after they started working. So they were trapped in this really vicious cycle. If you're not sick, you start work, you're not sick within those first 2 years, you can't do anything when you hit year five. However, Grace was a daughter of a union delegate and was determined to hold a clearly guilty firm accountable. In 1927, a young lawyer named Raymond Berry accepted their case, and Grace, along with four of her colleagues, found herself at the center of an international famous courtroom drama. By now, time was running out for most of them. The women have been given just 4 months to live, and the company seemed intent on dragging out their legal proceedings. Of course, you know, yeah. They're like, oh, we can probably drag this on until they're all dead.
Or if they didn't die, they would drag them on until the girls ran out of money.
As a consequence, Grace and her friends were forced to settle out of court, but they had raised the profile of radium poisoning. So they got they had to settle outside of court, but they got, you know, the awareness out there, which was good. So the radium girls case was front page news, and this sent shockwaves through America. Now everyone, the general public, is like getting a huge wake up call. And a plant in Ottawa, Illinois, a painter by the name of Catherine Wolf read the coverage with horror. She stated that there were meetings at the plant that basically bordered on riots. The chill of fear was so depressing that they could barely work. So the Illinois firm, Radium Dials, took a leaf out of the USRC's book and denied any responsibility. So it's like one firm did it, basically got away with it. We're going to do it too. Although the firm medical tests proved that the Illinois women were showing clear symptoms of radium poisoning, it lied about the results. It even placed a full page ad in the paper, local paper, saying, "If we at any time had reason to believe that any conditions of the work endangered the health of our employees, we would at once suspend operation." Its actions to hush up the scandal went as far as inferring in the girls' autopsies when the Illinois workers began to die. Company's official actually stole the radium-ridden bones in their callous cover-up. So they went a step farther in being assholes and not only put out, you know, that page saying, no, we're good, if it was harmful, we would stop, but then stole the deceased bones because it showed radium poisoning, you know, that honeycomb, and covered it up. Got rid of their bones.
How does a company even get to, like, where the autopsies are happening so they can interfere? Like, how do they gain access? They shouldn't even be there. Like, how do you get access to, like, the ME's office to interfere in the autopsy? Like, you have to be paying off so many people.
It's 1920s, early 30s. This has to be the culture of somebody knows someone. And they cut a deal or something. Like, today, that would not fly. You could not do that. There's too much documented. But back then, it was probably just, like, look the other way. So, in 1938, Catherine Wolfe, Donahue was her married name, she developed a grape-sized tumor that bulged on her hip. So, like Molly, before her, she lost all her teeth. She had to pick pieces of her jawbone out of her mouth. She consistently held a pattern handkerchief to her jaw to absorb the ever-seeping pus. She was also seen her friend before her, and that makes her want to fight even more. So even though she has all this other stuff wrong with her, she's watching people die, and she wants to help fight for this cause.
That's crazy. Well, good for her.
When Catherine started her fight for justice, it was the mid-30s. America was in the grips of the Great Depression. Catherine and her friends were shunned by their community for suing one of the few firms that were left standing. So, I mean, imagine the Great Depression. All these stores are closed. Banks don't have money. But there's this one factory that is still able to employ people. So they're being shunned by their community for wanting to sue them because they're still able to like employ people to work. So it was a very fucked up time. Though close to her death, when they went to court in 1938, Catherine ignored her doctor's advice and instead gave evidence from her deathbed. In doing so, she needed the help of her lawyer, which was Leonard Grossman, who worked pro bono. So good for him. He is a winner in our book. She finally won justice, mm-hmm. not only for herself, but for her workers everywhere. The Radium Girls case was one of the first in which employers were made responsible for the health of the company's employees. It led to life-saving regulations, ultimately to establish the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, so OSHA, which now operates nationally in the United States to protect workers. Before OSHA was set up, 14,000 people died on the job every year. Today, it's just about 4,500. So, drastic drop.
Drastic.
These women also left a legacy to science that has been termed invaluable. So, Grace Fryer and Catherine Donahue, just to name a few of them, are women who need to be honored and saluted as fearless champions. They shine through history with their achievements in their two short lives. They shine in other ways too. For radium, has a half-life of 1,600 years, and it is still embedded in their bones. So the ghost girls will be glowing in their graves for years and years to come. So that is the crazy story of the radium or ghost girls and how these badass women changed working regulations for us today.
That's a crazy story. I am definitely going to watch that movie. But it also shows you, everybody wants to talk about society today and how we, you know, shun people out doing things. People have always mm-hmm. been this way. I think what it is they were able to control what was put out about people back then. There wasn't this 24/7 news cycle, there wasn't social media, cell phones, all this stuff. It just shows that people were fucked up and were always going to be fucked up. I mean, for them to shun these girls out for going against the big corporation that is killing people, I understand that they were in a depression and everything, but we need to start looking out after each other. Like, that is crazy. Could you imagine just basically, you're basically falling apart from the inside. And you can't stop it. There's no way to stop it. There's no cure for radium. You're done.
And case, Catherine's walking around trying, you know, being shown by her community, trying to do this fight. And it's not like she's not showing symptoms. She literally has to hold a handkerchief to her mouth to hold the pus in. She has, you know, a growth on her hip that's a tumor. Like, so you can physically see the symptoms. It's not like something you can't see or question if they're making it up. But not only that, it's not like one or two girls are dropping. It's multiple girls are dropping. So they have like a huge list. And I thought I had it in here, but I think I just read it somewhere. So they put syphilis on a bunch of the girls' death certificates because I didn't know what to put. This is just like a side note. It actually got, when this court battle was over and they won, they actually went back and corrected all the death certificates and they put radium poisoning. So that was a little bit of, I don't want to say closure for the family, because it's so, I mean, you're not going to have closure when someone passes away in this manner, but at least it was a little bit of more respect towards those who've passed on, because you're not saying, you know, they have a disease now. You're saying that they died by poisoning. So
that was a wild story.
That's why we have OSHA, everybody. Let us know what you think. I know there's a bunch of other podcasts out there that cover Radium Girls and Ghost Girls. I think it's a really fascinating topic. Also, they're just badass girls. So we'll post pictures of them glowing on our social media. So check out Twitter at don'tgointhere3, Instagram don't_go_in_there. Check out our Facebook page and group, Don't Go In There. Our website, don'tgointhere19@website.com. Like I said, we're going to be uploading our episodes and things there, so check that out. And then email us your thought on this case, cases you want us to cover, true crime, paranormal stories, personal stories. Let us know. don'tgointhere19@gmail.com.
Yep. And don't forget to check us out on anchor.fm and subscribe to us on your podcast listening platform, whether it be iTunes or Spotify. Also, check us out on Patreon. We obviously know what's going on in the world today, so if you can't do it, don't want to do it, totally understand. But we would appreciate any kind of support, whether it be on Patreon or if you guys can just go ahead on iTunes and give us a little rating and tell us how you're liking it or not liking it and what could be done better.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd really appreciate that as well. Well, Ash, this was our second episode of this week, so hopefully everybody gets a little some content this week. We'll be back next week. Until next time, guys, remember, don't go in there.